Hello and welcome back to episode 126 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peake, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, City of Philadelphia. And we are back with another amazing episode in our series, Women in the Field. Today we're welcoming author, researcher, and speaker, Constance Victoria Briggs. We're going to be getting into her research over the years and her recent book that came out, Earth's Galactic History and Its Extraterrestrial Connection. So we have some really cool stuff to go over today. So as we always like to say, strap on them seatbelts. We're going for a ride. Hello and welcome to episode 126 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peake, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, City of Philadelphia. And this is our series, Women in the Field. And today we're welcoming author, researcher, and speaker, Constance Victoria Briggs. Constance, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesse. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I've been seeing you around in the field for a long time, so I'm happy to finally have you on today for a conversation. And especially for our series, Women in the Field, because you've been doing some amazing work.
Oh, thank you.
No problem. So I guess let's kick it off right from the beginning and ask how you got involved into this field. Was it an interest or was it an experience for you?
It was a little bit of both. You know, my entire life I've been having paranormal experiences of one way or the other. And I started off writing books on, you know, metaphysics and spirituality and try to answer questions as to what was going on with me. But this sort of led into my interest into the cosmos and in learning there are other entities, beings, dimensions, etc. out there. I wanted to know how it all affected humanity. And so I started having some interesting information coming across my desk on UFOs and extraterrestrials, and I realized that some of what I was experiencing may have been coming from from that direction. And so on it went for over 30 years now. I've been doing research on ETs, UFOs, galactic history, and I love it. I am a Star Trek fan, a Trekkie, and it is my great passion in life. And I came out of the Star Trek galactic closet, and
that's great.
Yeah, so here I am.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm definitely there. That and Star Wars for sure.
Oh yeah.
It looks like you also have been a guest on a lot of different podcasts and a lot of different shows. You've been a speaker at many different events. Would you like to tell us about some of the events that you recently spoke at and some of the shows that you've been on?
So, yeah, you know, it's been an interesting ride. It basically started, you know, with my little book, The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries. And when I published that, all these shows were just interested in talking, you know, about the moon. And, it snowballed to this book, The Earth's Galactic History. And I've been on, good grief, I've been on, invited on Coast to Coast 3 times. I have recently done Fade to Black with Jimmy Church, which
yes.
I didn't know a lot about that show, but apparently it's a popular one.
Yes, seen you.
And I've done some online conferences, especially when COVID hit. You know, for 3 years I was doing some stuff online because people weren't traveling. And so I did some, you know, hour presentations on this material. And, you know, it's been interesting and a lot of fun.
That's amazing. That's great to hear. So you brought up the moon. I've been fascinated with the moon as well. What was your main focus when you were doing your research about the moon? What topics were you interested in?
I wanted to know who and what might be on the moon. I had already established that there was something going on, which, to be honest, I did not grow up believing. I had no interest in the moon. I had no interest in astronauts. I thought it was a dead rock in the sky, just like, you know, most people.
Right.
But then I came across a book by UFOlogist Don Wilson, who
yes.
wrote a book titled Our Mysterious Spaceship Moon, and also Secrets of Our Spaceship Moon. It was Don Wilson that convinced me that there was something going on up there. And I wanted to know more. So I started exploring and collecting stories. And I put them in that first book, The Encyclopedia of Moon Mysteries, where I focused on structures, strange lights on the moon, what the Apollo astronauts saw up there. I know some people don't believe they went, but I do, so I get to talk about it. What they saw up there, and looked at their transcripts, looked at some of the pictures that we still have that were not hidden from NASA. There's a bunch of stuff out there, but my focus really was, if, you know, we have those items there, if we have strange lights going on up there, who and what is it? So getting to the bottom of that mystery was what I wanted to do. So when I wrote the second moon book, the Moon's Galactic History and its Extraterrestrial Connection, I had even more answers. And people had more questions. They wanted a narrative. They didn't want the encyclopedia anymore. They wanted to hear my voice. So I was able to give my ideas and speculations on who and what may be on the moon and what may be going on with it in that book.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, because I've been very interested myself with the structures that are up there. And I got Richard Hoag in the book, and he talks about the pyramids up there and the structures that are still laying there and some of the NASA photos. So that's been a big interest in my field as well with research.
Right.
So it's
right.
Really interesting. So do you believe that there was civilization that lived on the moon prior to today? You know what I mean? Like, is that what that the remnants are from? Have you figured that out in your research?
You know, it's very interesting, this moon research. It took me to all kinds of strange places that I never thought about. Jesse, you may have heard that there's stories about a time when there was no moon in the sky.
Right.
And that some of the great philosophers and writers wrote about that. Well, you know, I mean, they said it. And we, you know, I tell people we can't just take what they said, some of it, and not believe the other. So I think they had something going on. They knew something, and they left that writing. They left that writing behind. So it looks like this moon was brought in here. It doesn't look like, from my research, that it was created from, you know, the time that Earth was here, that someone or something put this mega structure in space. And you know, so I got into the theories as to why maybe they would have done it. You know, I have my Garden of Eden theory. Maybe someone put it here to stabilize the Earth so that life would thrive here on Earth, you know, with the moon in place. And also there is information, for example, from the Sun Gate of Bolivia that talks about the moon coming in. This is an ancient structure that's still standing, and it has symbols and writings that talks about the moon coming in. Now, whether or not those ancients that put this mega structure there were giving information from extraterrestrials or star people, advanced beings, whether or not that was what happened, I don't know, but they certainly have that writing there. So it looks like, if you look at some of these ancient writings, that it wasn't always there. So what was it then? Could it have been placed there for Earth? Or is it like what the scientists, the Russian scientists in the 70s, two of them wrote a book, a paper, and they talked about how they thought the moon was brought here and that it might be a generational ship. Now, a generational ship would be something that had beings on it. They said that it looked like, to them, the moon had engines and all kinds of equipment in it for, you know, possibly a kind of a Noah's Ark kind of thing, carrying beings across the universe. So the question is, if that account is true, if what the ancients are saying is true, was there a civilization on the moon or inside the moon? Since we have scientists from NASA that stated in the late 60s that the moon reverberated, and it appeared to them that it was hollow. So the idea is that there may be a civilization in the moon. Now, did the civilization in the moon, did any of them come down here all those billions of years ago, you know, to Earth? Were they escaping a supernova or a sun god, you know, exploding?
Right.
Were they escaping some weird situation on their planet, you know, from maybe it was politics and they had the ability to escape, you know, technologically. So yeah, it looks like there was some sort of civilization up there, and that they may still be up there, according to, you know, the structures that Richard Hoagland found. Michael Barra wrote a book on some structures that were up there that had towers, you know, yes, that were miles high. So yeah, it looks like someone's there.
Yeah, I definitely think so. They were definitely there at one time, for sure. And I remember that when they dropped the satellite, and it did, the moon rung. And they even tested it a second time. So it's really interesting, that theory. Definitely has my thoughts running when I think about it. So what do you think about, because I know you might have heard that we're going to go back to the moon soon, other countries, not just us, China. Do you think that we'll find more remnants there when we go when others go to the moon in the near future?
Yeah, you know, people are saying, oh, they're going back to the moon. We've been there. We've done that. There's no one on the moon. We've looked at the moon. Well, you know what? We really haven't. We have explored less than 1% of the moon.
Right.
All right. And so, yeah, I think that when they return, they will find something. They will see something if they go to the right places. I'm not saying that the entire moon is covered with structures. I'm saying that they are there and they need to look for them, and they need to go to where they are if they are interested and if they believe it. So when the NASA astronauts went up, the places they landed, they were scheduled to land to, were planned. They were sought out and they were planned,
right,
and they were very limited. So we would have to have people up there for a while to really explore and get in there and find out what's going on. And maybe, you know, whoever's up there don't want us to do that. Like one host told me, he said, you know, if they see us coming, all they have to do is turn off the lights.
Right.
You know, but yeah, you know, I think that you should go to those sites where the structures are. And I'll tell you something else. There are people looking at the moon today from Google Earth or Google Moon. And, you know, they've got these, some people have higher power telescopes, and they're finding things up there. So one interesting astronomer that's online says, man, it looks like a parking lot up there. There are craters that are lit up with lights. It looks like they've got spaceships just parked there. And others have said that it looks like there's a city going up there. From some of the old pictures we have,
right,
we have images that look like buildings were blown apart. Today, there are buildings that look like they are complete. So, there's roads, and there's pipes, and there's areas that look like they have been mined. And so, yeah, I think that if they go up and they stay up there and they explore, they could run into something. Now, the question is, are they going to be transparent about what they're finding and
right,
seeing?
Right. That is the question, because we know how it's going with the UFO situation now within the government and with the hearings. So it's absolutely, are we going to know for sure? And I don't think people realize how vast the moon actually is when they think about it. So they think that we already looked at everything, but we, like you said, it's only been 1%. People don't realize how much space there is to cover and how long it takes to do so, you know?
Right.
So, so kind of moving forward with your newest book, which is called Earth's Galactic History and its Extraterrestrial Connection. Could you talk about that a little bit, and where you got the inspiration for the book, and what people can expect when they read it?
Yes. So after I wrote the Moon's Galactic History, people liked it, but they wanted to know what was going on with Earth basically. And they were asking me questions, and I realized, you know, that people who do not have their hand in this research, or that are listening to, you know, to these shows, don't have a clue what's going on. They just know that there is a UFO phenomena going on,
right,
and they were curious. So I decided to write a book, because by this time, you know, in my research, I already established that Earth has been visited from the beginning of human history, if not before, and that people are not aware of it. So I wanted to put that in one book that they could just, you know, go through a kind of follow Earth journey, UFO and extraterrestrial journey, the best that I could, because there is so much information that I couldn't put it in one book, right?
Right.
So I touched on some of the more famous accounts and I gave them my theories and my opinions and those of others. So I started with Earthrise. My chapter talks about whether or not the Earth was perhaps terraformed, because scientists have said that basically they don't know where life started, and they have their theories. We all know the Big Bang theory and excuse me, the early primordial soup theory of, you know, life starting, you know, with starting and kind of crawling out of right. the ocean and all
yep.
of that.
Yep.
But the question that I pose is whether or not Earth was terraformed by extraterrestrials. So I started a chapter looking at that idea. And so, yeah, it's kind of interesting to think out of the box. I think people should think out of the box. I think we should be having discussions about this all over the world. And I also went to the idea of human origins. What are our origins? I tried to step outside of the traditional thought of God and religion. You know, what if it was a little different or a lot different than we've been taught? So we're humans, the product of extraterrestrials who had the ability to create what we what we consider life. Did they have the ability to manipulate DNA from, as we've been, you know, hearing in some stories? Did they have that ability to use life that was already on Earth and manipulate DNA from primates, you know, or were we actually created in another way? Some have hypothesized that we were created in some sort of lab and placed on Earth. Another theory is that the Earth was seeded by extraterrestrials trying to place life in the solar system or and throughout the galaxy. And they use the panspermia theory of seeding life.
Right.
Or did they have, excuse me, losing my voice a little, or did they have direct panspermia, which they just targeted Earth and placed us, you know, life here and humans here. Now, when I talk about extraterrestrials possibly creating humans, I'm not talking about something that we haven't been working on ourselves, that, you know, here on Earth, our scientists are trying to, you know, find ways to create life. They're looking at, you know, the cloning, and, you know, they're creating robots now that some are saying are going to be sentient, some are biological, will be biological beings. Who knows, you know, where human life could have started from? Advanced beings out there who may be hundreds or thousands or millions or billions of years ahead of us with their science and technology. To us, they would be like gods, you know,
absolutely.
And that could give life. Who knows? So I explore that in my book. And none of this is, you know, written in stone, but they are ideas, because there are so many tales, like, you know, many people are familiar with the story of the Anunnaki,
right.
And these were the Sumerian gods who today are believed to have been advanced extraterrestrials that came to Earth. And the story is that, yes, they did create humanity from primates and the use of their alien DNA. And that's not the only story. So I can't get into them all, but that's where I went, you know, with this book. And then I went into their, you know, their lives and how this all happened. So that was chapter two.
That's great. That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So do you think that, you know, like our government and people in the secret governments, like they know about this already and they know all the answers to, or have contact with these beings? Do you think we already have that already?
That's a good question. The secret government, you're saying, do they have all the answers? You know what? They probably would have all the answers. I can't imagine that they haven't heard the story or over and over again. But of course, I don't know for sure.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. I don't know. Maybe they do have these answers, and they're not sharing just yet. And maybe they'd like to hold this under wraps. Like, you know, we hear that the Vatican had all kinds of documentation, right?
Yes.
And maybe the secret government does. I don't know a whole lot about the secret government, but I will tell you this. I did talk about humanity having records of our history in the past. You know, extraterrestrials were living among us quite openly in the beginning. You know, if you go back to all of the ancient writings, they talk about star people and star people coming to Earth and teaching us architecture, farming, how to live, you know, on the Earth and succeed. And then they, for whatever reason, they left. They were here for many, many years. We have pictures of giant beings that, you know, were standing next to, you know, humanity. And they, these were out of Egypt, but there's others too. So what was I trying to, I'm losing my thought, sorry.
That's okay.
What was I trying to say is that, I was going into the hidden history. So I think that along the way, I think it was documented by humanity, our history with extraterrestrials. I think at one time we knew where we came from and exactly who created us.
Right.
But I think it's been lost. I talk about this in my book. There was the Library of Alexandria was this great library in ancient times that held all kinds of scrolls and documents and history, and it was destroyed. And I just wonder if some of that information was in there and it was to be handed down to us, and it was lost in various ways and forms along the way.
Yeah, it's a shame to even think that that happened. You know what I mean? We could have had all that information and how important it could have been for us, you know, and for it to be destroyed. And I think about, you know, ancient Egypt and how we know that, you know, scriptures and scriptures have been changed on the walls and erased and written over, you know, and all that information we could have had. So I definitely believe that we did have it at one time as well. Really interesting stuff for sure, if you think about it. But I want to go ahead and take our break real quick because we're at that point. And when we get back, we can get a little bit more into your book, some really interesting points that you have in there that I really think is some great talking points.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and take our break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Jesse P. Happy to announce coming up this year in 2024 on May 4th is the Curiosities Festival, which will include speakers in the field of ufology, the paranormal, and Bigfoot. We'll also be having live performances throughout the day, live bands, food, activities, and more. Tickets will only be $5 a person, and it'll be from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Again, this is for the 2024 Curiosities Festival. You can get this information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peek, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable? Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
This is your host, Jesse Peek. check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network. All right, welcome back to the second half of episode 126. We're sitting down with our special guest, Constance Victoria Briggs. So in your book, you talk about a cosmic freeway, which is how ET travels to and from Earth. I wanted to get some of your theories and research on what you found on this, because this sounds really interesting, because we hear people talk about, you know, time travel and different ways of getting back and forth. So I found this is a really interesting talking point that you mentioned.
Yeah, so I got a little tired of hearing from some people that there's just no way we could be being visited by extraterrestrials because they couldn't cross the universe.
Right, I agree.
And okay, so we have all these pictures of UFOs. We have congressional hearings of UFOs. We even have pictures of people, you know, with strange beings, but that's another show, right? So people are saying, oh, I took a picture of an ET. What was that thing? You know, Anyway, they're getting here somehow. So, you know, I mean, how? So I always believed, I wanted to write a book many years ago called Portals and Doorways and Gateways, but it never came to be. Because I thought they were coming through portals, all right?
Okay.
So I named this thing the Cosmic Freeway. Now, this is the thing. I believe that they are coming using wormhole technology, and they're putting the stargates at either end. And I'm not a scientist, so this is my best way to describe it. Now, it's not something that we haven't seen, of course, in science fiction. We all know, you know, the show Stargate, right? This is how they were doing it.
Right.
And it's not, so I believe that they are traveling using technology that we do not understand yet. And for my limited scientific knowledge, I call them wormholes, and I use the term Stargates and portals. That's how I think they're doing it. Now, I didn't just like fantasize and make this up. This is something that NASA is talking about. NASA has information up about one day hoping to use wormholes as a means of space travel for us.
Right.
So what if, you know, there are beings out there that have already beat us to it? Obviously, in my opinion, they have. Not only that, but people who are watching UFOs come and go, there's tons of people seeing UFOs, and some of them comment about how they look like they're going through a kind of a door, like they're going through a door and disappearing.
That's right.
Not only that, but what's interesting, because I did say that this book goes back in history, we have several accounts from history that says people on Earth came and went through doors. We can call them portals, we can call them stargates, but they came and went through doors. The gods came and went through doors. And we have people now that believe that some of those doors or stargates are still on Earth. Iraq there's a very famous story about Iraq possibly having a stargate, and that, you know, the US may have been interested in it. And they were trying to have this thing activated. the information apparently got out, if it's real, you know, at least part of the story. But that's the thing. There is another doorway, and I can't remember the country now, that is also known to have been a place where the gods came and went. I've listed places throughout history that were thought to be stargates or doorways that humans recorded and said people would come and go. So they weren't just flying ships through them. Apparently these things can be, you know, objects can be sent through, people can be sent through, but, you know, in the galaxy, people are using these things, I believe, like we use freeways here on Earth. And I think they might even be monitored by galactic hierarchies. We have information about a galactic federation, which is being talked about more and more these days. I heard about the galactic federation 30 years ago, but now I'm hearing people talk about this. Could it be that there are beings out there that have this cosmic freeway and are monitoring it and are using it to travel the galaxy, and some of them are coming to Earth?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was going to mention the galactic hierarchy that you talk about as well. That was the next question. So do you think that this is multiple different ET races that created this galactic federation and that kind of watch over this galactic or cosmic freeway? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, if you can believe channeled information, and some people do and some people don't, but I do. And I have a very good story here from Gene Roddenberry, which I'm talking about all the time now. So Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was sitting in on channeling sessions by a woman named, I believe her name was Phyllis Schlimmer. Phyllis said that she was channeling beings, receiving information from these beings that were in Earth's vicinity. And they were traveling on an enormous ship, and that the crew was made up of different people from different worlds. And they were all working together, and they were traveling on missions of peace. All right. And for whatever reason, they were in Earth's vicinity. Now, the popular thought is that Gene Roddenberry, sitting in on those sessions, got the idea for Star Trek, and that this was one way the extraterrestrial beings wanted to educate Earth that we were not alone in the galaxy, not just him, but other forms of sci-fi. So yes, because of information like this coming in, that there are beings out there, supposed to be, I've heard both the Ashtar Command or the Galactic Federation were both have been said that, you know, this is what Gene was listening to. So if you listen to information like that, and also others who are said to be in contact with ETs, Alex Collier is very famously involved with, he's a Andromedan representative. I've been listening to him for years. He's not crazy. I believe he's been being given information. The Palladians channeled a document that has been published. So yes, I believe there are several races out there, and I believe that we are being visited by several races, have been in the past, and all of them we don't, of course, know about. Some are humanoid, some look non-humanoid, some are able to come in. If you listen to not just the stories of Gene Roddenberry and channelers, but just regular people out there who are saying, you know, I saw this and I saw that, everybody's not making things up.
That's
so
right.
There have been descriptions of all kinds of different beings. Oh, very, very interesting here too is Mr. Charles Hall. I like to mention him because he wrote books on beings called the Tall Whites. They're beginning to be talked about a great deal. And he says that he worked with them. He worked for the military. He gave the time he worked, the base that he worked on. And, you know, he said they were here and he was working with them. So yeah, there's all different types. And I'm hoping at some point to actually write a book and talk about them a lot more. I put some of them in this book, because I wanted to introduce, you know, the idea
right.
that there are beings around and visiting us and working with us.
Yeah. Do you think, I know, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, I'm not going to believe it until they land on the White House lawn, which they actually kind of did already.
Right.
But do you think that there will ever be that day where they officially come out and say, hey, we're here? Or do you think that they kind of feel that they've already done that with contacting the people that are experiencers and contactees and abductees?
No, I don't feel like they feel like they've done it. They know that we are not spreading the information, that they're out there. Well, the most people on Earth have no clue. You know, they're just going about their business, and they know that we need to be informed. In fact, there was a gentleman who wrote a book, an Israeli gentleman, an older guy, talked about it a couple of years ago, and I was shocked. I was watching the news one day, and they were saying this man was an older guy. He was decorated. He worked in astrophysics. I think he had written a book, and he was saying that we have people on Mars. There are humans on Mars working with extraterrestrials, and the extraterrestrials stated not to tell humanity because we weren't ready. But he was saying it anyway, right? But so it's not the first time that I had heard that they had said we're not ready. They're waiting for us to grow up. They're waiting for humanity to mature. We're still young. And we're still fighting, and we're using atomic weapons now, you know, and we're killing each other, and we're ruining the earth, and we're not completely ready for a big reveal. So they decided to basically do it in baby steps. They're using social media, they're using channelers, they're using science fiction, because, you know, we are big on science fiction on Earth, to introduce the idea that we're not alone in the galaxy. And now they're using people who are disseminating information right and left, you know, with the books and the shows, and, you know, just coming out and talking about it. So they're waiting, and but they have said that the Andromedans stated to Mr. Collier, and this was really interesting, I'll never forget it. They said that they may have to step up their time period of letting us know, you know, as a mass, a global society, about them, because of the actions we're taking on Earth, what we're doing here in a negative way will affect the rest of the galaxy. So they may have to step up the time that we learn about them. So I do believe that there will be a point where we may see mass ships in the sky, or we may have an extraterrestrial that is standing in front of a newscast with a leader saying, you know, we're here and we're not the only ones. There are many of us, and you're not alone in the galaxy, and we you know, want you to be a part of the galactic community. They may do that sooner than later.
Yeah, I think there will be that day as well. I've always had a hunch or feeling that something is going to come, whether it might not be in my time or my kids' time, but eventually one day. So as researchers, investigators, people that are experiencers, do you have any idea what the focus that we should be focused on now until we get to that point?
Yeah, I think we should be trying to figure out, you know, what really is going on with humanity, where humanity came from, you know, get out of the traditional teachings and think out of the box. The big focus is, though, I think that we should be furthering the information that we are not alone in the universe, that there are others out there, and that a lot of what we see going on Earth, you know, we have beings out there that might like to help us, all right, that have, you know, would like to step in and give us a hand. And so anyway, yeah, I think the focus should be on educating people that we're not alone in the universe, and telling them what we know and what's been going on, and talking about the UFOs, talking about the extraterrestrials. Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, because I know for sure we're doing things to the planet that we're really destroying it in a way with the nuclear weapons, even just humanity in general, people killing people every day. I mean, a lot of negativity. And we haven't really gotten to that point of clarity yet where we reach that mature level where we'd be able to take that information in. And I do think there is that big gap where we do have to figure out where we've come from and get our history, like you talked about.
You know, the extraterrestrials have said, and I understand that they said this to one of the world leaders that they met with. Yes, they have met with world leaders. And one of them was that they were not going to allow us to kill all life off on this planet. All right. That Earth is valuable. Earth is a jewel. Earth is different and filled with all kinds of life. And they're not going to allow us to do that. And that they will step in and prevent that. For now, they're limiting themselves, probably due to something like a prime directive, just like Star Trek. They can only go but so far. People have complained that, you know, if there's extraterrestrials out there, they haven't done a darn thing for us. Well, you know, they may be limited in how far they can go because we are a free society. We are free will beings.
Right.
And so they're waiting, but they will step in, they said, if, you know, before they let us kill everything off here.
Absolutely. And I hope they do. You know what I mean? I'd rather save the Earth than humanity go ahead and destroy it. It's more important than what people really think it is. So I also wanted to ask you about, you know, people that talk about having negative experiences with ET. Are there negative races out there that are kind of terrorizing people, that are kind of causing negative things to happen? And just wanted to get your opinion on that.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I've been on both sides of this coin of the metaphysical and the extraterrestrial. And when I was studying metaphysics, I learned that some beings on the other side were saying Earth is really negative and they would never come in here. And I thought, okay, there are beings that believe we're negative. But anyway, there are, you know, because of our behavior. But yes, there are negative beings out there. The Earth is the galaxy has both good and bad. All right. So it is a lot like Star Wars, I believe. You know, there is an ancient race of beings called the Reptilians.
Yes.
That I never even wanted to face existed, never wanted to look at them or acknowledge them. But apparently they are a thing, unfortunately, and they are considered to be negative beings. These beings in particular believe that they were here first, that they have precedence over humanity and others in the galaxy, and they would like to take over if they could. Of course, then we know of the gray aliens. Now, I understand that they are both good and bad. They're, you know, in all species, they are good and bad, and they have kind of wreaked havoc on the human psyche. People can't even, some people like myself, it was hard for me to acknowledge them or think about them because they've done some bad things, right?
Right.
With the test. And I don't know how that happened or how they even slipped through, because I believe that we do have protectors, but it is said that they made some kind of deal with a world leader. That is the story of how that happened. But anyway, so yeah, I think there's good and bad out there, but also I believe that we are being protected to a point, because there are stories that asteroids were moved mysteriously out of the way of Earth. I don't know if you've heard those stories. We've had also missiles that have been deactivated.
Yes.
On Earth.
Yes.
That there are UFOs seen around military installations that have done that.
Right.
And there is some history. I have these in my book where there were wars going on where UFOs were interfering in the fighting. Okay. And so, yeah, I think that there are some good that have been trying to help a little bit, you know, or a lot, you know, I don't know the
right
ratio. But yeah, so there's good and there's bad out there. But I don't really believe that we are coming under a threat of invasion. And I'll tell you why. Because I do believe that there are galactic hierarchies out there that are looking out for us, but not just us, but any world that is new, that does not have the technology to defend themselves against advanced technology. It wouldn't surprise me if there was something out there, some rules or laws in place, or some protection for new species of beings. I also think that we are not the newest. You know, there may be worlds behind us that are just developing,
right?
I think that they would have some sort of protection from galactic hierarchy, but that's just my opinion, Jesse.
That's what I was going to actually ask you. Do you think there's other Earth-like planets out there that actually have life, or is Earth just that special, or we're just not able to find those other places yet?
No, there are just so many galaxies and, you know, with so many suns and planets revolving around them, it's just arrogant for us to think we would be the only ones. And also, if you look at Mars, Mars appears to have had life, and it may still have, you know, life on there. And Venus at one time may have had life, they're saying. And who knows where else? Some of the moons out there of Jupiter might have life.
Right.
So, yeah, we're not the only ones. And it would be crazy to think that we are.
I agree 100%. I believe that the universe is filled with life. There's no way that we're the only ones in this entire huge universe that we haven't even explored most of it yet, you know?
Right.
But we're actually towards the end of the show. Do you want to tell everybody where they can get your book, where they can follow you, and all that information about yourself?
Yes, you can get my book on Amazon, very easy, where everything else is.
Yep.
You can also get it at Adventures Unlimited Press. That's my publisher. You can follow me on Facebook. I am under Constance Victoria Briggs. I have a Moon Mysteries page, Constance Victoria Briggs Moon Mysteries, Galactic Mysteries page. And I'm on Instagram. The handle is at Galactic Briggs. You can also ask me questions through my website, which is ConstanceVictoriaBriggs.com too. So you can go there and send me emails if you like.
Awesome. I'll make sure I put the book link in the description of the episode and your website as well. This way, if people want to get in hold of you, they can get that information real simple, real easy. And I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing all this with us. This is like right up my alley, all the stuff I'm interested in the field. So it was great having this conversation with you today.
Thank you, Jesse.
No problem. And I want to thank you for coming on for the series as well. It was a great time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to thank everybody for tuning into episode 126 today. If you guys are interested in the upcoming Curiosities Festival, you can get all that information and tickets over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And we will see everybody back next week for our final episode of Women in the Field. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, that's another great episode in our series, Women in the Field. I want to thank our guest today, author and researcher Constance Victoria Briggs, for coming on and sharing all her research and her work she's done throughout the years. Another episode in the books, excellent information today. So thank you again, Constance. Next week, we're going to have special guest Nancy Times to end our series, Women in the Field. So that should be another amazing episode. If you guys are interested in the upcoming festival, the Curiosities Festival on May 4th, you can get all that information and tickets over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Tickets are only $5 a person for the entire day. That includes your 3 speaker sessions, the planetarium, live performances, the live band. I mean, it includes everything. And you can get, if there's 5 of you, you can get 5 for 20 on the tickets. It's a great festival coming up on May 4th, which is a Saturday. It's only about 2 weeks out, so get your tickets while you can. We'll also have ticket sales at the door if you're interested. But like I said, get all that stuff over to our website prior to the event if you want to pay ahead of time. And I hope to see you guys there. And we'll be back next week with another amazing episode. So as we always say, remember to keep your eyes in the sky.